These two have been praising God together for a long time. A long time. Find your Bible and open them with me this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We are studying through the book of Philippians, allowing the church there at Philippi to be our archetype. What that means is that as individuals there and as a congregation there, we're allowing them to set an example for us, and we're trying our best to follow their example, and they are more than qualified to establish that for us. If you're there, read with me, follow along with me as I begin in chapter 1, verse 12. Paul, in his letter to these folks that he loves so deeply, says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. Some, to be sure, preach Christ out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, seeking to cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death, which he was surely facing." Let me call your attention back to the passage and point out some things to you. In verse 12, he talks there about the advancement of the gospel. The bottom verse 14, he refers to speaking the message fearlessly. In verse 15, preach Christ. At the top of verse 16, this do so, they do so. He's talking there about sharing Christ. Over at the top of verse 17, others proclaim Christ. And toward the end of verse 18, Christ is proclaimed. Did you notice all of those? What he's talking here is about sharing Christ. So I think it makes sense for us to use that as the title of our study this morning and just talk about sharing Christ. Sharing Christ with others is what we want to be about as a congregation. That's what we want to be about. As individuals, that's what we want to be about. Listen to me. Even if we're no good at it, okay? We don't have to be good at it in order to share Christ. Author Earl Palmer writes this: "When California's Milpitas High School Orchestra attempts Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the result is appalling. I wouldn't be surprised if the performance would make old Ludwig roll over in his grave despite his deafness. You might ask, why bother? Why inflict on these poor kids the terrible burden of trying to render what the immortal Beethoven had in mind? Not even the great Chicago Symphony Orchestra can attain that perfection." My answer is this: the Milpitas High School Orchestra will give some people in that audience their only encounter with Beethoven's great Ninth Symphony. Far from perfection, it is nevertheless the only way they will ever hear Beethoven's message. Well, let me tell you why that struck a chord in my heart. It's because we may not be any good at sharing Christ. As a congregation, we do our best. You know, I'm sure we can always do better. You as an individual may truthfully be no good at it. But do it anyway, you know? Give it your best. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Do your very best at talking to people about Christ Jesus, because it may be the only exposure they have to a follower of Christ in their life. Do it. Share Christ. That's what we want to be about as a group. Let me visit some things here that I think will help us. Sharing Christ is often painful. Look at verse 12 again. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, and there he's talking about his imprisonment, that whole awful ordeal. He's already spent 2 years in prison back in Jerusalem. Now he's in prison in Rome. All this imprisonment has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel. Who'd thought? In verse 14, most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. What was the message that was being spoken fearlessly, which he refers there? Well, it included the good news about salvation. It did. But what Paul's talking about here is much larger than just sharing the plan of salvation. Sharing Christ included the whole new life in Christ, as would later be written down in what we know as the New Testament. All of that, all of the new life in Christ is what they were sharing. Let's make a couple of observations here. First, sharing Christ and difficulty often go hand in hand. Do you know why? Because we have an enemy. We have a very real enemy who does not want us talking to people about Christ Jesus. Is that news to you? You make an attempt. You just make an attempt, any attempt, a feeble attempt, to begin talking to people about Christ Jesus and what he means to you, what you've seen, what your experience has been. I want to tell you something. He's not going to leave you alone. That's not going to go unchallenged. Do you know who I'm talking about? His name is Satan, the prince of darkness, Lord of the flies. Lord of the flies. Let's think about a football team for a moment. Football game. The goal of a football game is for a team to score as many touchdowns as possible. That's the goal. But have you noticed that no football team is able to go out there and just score touchdowns at will? Right? You know why? Because there's another team out there, a second team, for who, you know, their job is to stop the first team from scoring goals. And the conflict between the two is the stuff legends is made of. You know, they even broadcast it on television because the conflict is so painful. Wow, it's painful. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, so the football metaphor is similar, but it's different. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Now, that is a spectacular conflict that we're talking about in Ephesians. That is painful. That's painful. Let's go back to the football analogy for just a moment. When the first team recognizes that they're not going to be able to score at will, when the first team acknowledges that there's another team out there who's trying hard to keep them from scoring any touchdowns, does the first team just throw in the towel and go back to the locker room, call it quits? No, that's not the way it works at all. When the first team decides and recognizes there's a second team out there who's going to try hard by inflicting pain to keep them from scoring touchdowns, you know what they do? Man, they knuckle under. They put on the uniform. They put on the equipment. They put on the shoulder pads. They put on the helmet. They come up with strategies. They come up with offenses and defenses. They punt sometimes. They do onside kicks sometimes. They do everything they need to do. Listen to me. They do everything they need to do in order to score touchdowns in spite of the second team being out there. Have you noticed that's how it works? No? Yes, that's the way it works. I'll share a secret with you about this competition. We win. It's going to be painful, but we're going to win. You're going to win. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. They will not stop us. They will not stop you. Fumble, stumble, do whatever you can to expose Christ to people. You won't be stopped. You won't be stopped. It may hurt. You may be embarrassed. You may be persecuted. It may be painful. Jesus said, you're going to win. You're going to win. And sharing Christ, we will certainly meet with some painful opposition, but keep on fighting, keep on sharing, keep on talking, keep on doing your best, because you're going to win. In fact, encountering painful difficulty makes us better at sharing Christ. That's Paul's primary message here in this passage we've read this morning. David Garrison, great author, wrote this in his book, Church Planting Movements. In it, he describes how churches are flourishing in countries where they're being persecuted. We're not persecuted here. We're not much flourishing. But he writes how churches in countries where they're persecuted are really flourishing. Here's what he wrote. During the decade of the 1990s, Christians in a Latin American country overcame relentless government persecution to grow from 345 churches to more than 4,000 churches with more than 30,000 converts awaiting baptism. They did that in the midst of persecution, pain. Here's another example he recorded. A missionary strategist in Africa reported this. It took us 30 years to plant 4 churches in this country. But under current persecution, we've started 65 new churches in the past 9 months. That's what happens when we get picked on. Here's one last one. In Southeast Asia, a missionary strategist began working with 3 small house churches of 85 members in 1993. Just 7 years later, in 2000, membership had swollen to more than 90,000 baptized followers of Christ, worshiping in 920 new churches. Now, what we're establishing here is sharing Christ is, in a very real sense, is always associated with pain. But when we don't throw in the towel, when we don't walk away with our tail between our legs, when we accept the challenge, when we realize it's going to hurt, when we realize there's going to be pain involved, when we're continuing sharing Christ, when we keep up the fight, God, through us, brings great victory. So that's what we're talking about today, is sharing Christ, knowing up front it's going to be difficult. Knowing up front we're going to meet opposition. Knowing up front it's going to be painful. God, through us, brings great victory. There will be about 1,000 of us here on campus today, youth, children, adults, 2 services. Can you imagine what God could do through 1,000 people bold enough to share Christ, even though it's awkward? Even though it's painful? What a great thing he could do. Here's another observation. Sharing Christ is our priority. Look at the great statement Paul makes in verses 15 through 18. After touching briefly on some of the differences and even some of the problems that have arisen between those who were sharing Christ with different spirits. He says in verse 18, what does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Who cares? He says about the other stuff. Who cares? In other words, Paul says, look, those of us who are sharing Christ with the hurting world around us may have our differences, but the really important thing is that we are all sharing Christ. And sharing Christ is more important than our differences. But you know what? We have differences. We have differences here in our congregation. I mean, look at this. We have such a difference, we can't even all worship together. You know? Here in the same congregation, some of us like worshiping this way, some of us like worshiping that way. Can't get us all in the same room. We have to have two worship services. But who cares? We're all sharing Christ. We're all sharing Christ. I've put up here on the screen before the photograph of the cooperating evangelical pastors. There are 15, 17 of us. You know, we all believe in the inerrant, fallible Word of God. We're sold out. We're sold out to conservative, that means Orthodox, Bible-believing churches. But we have some differences. If you remember the photo, we're tall, short, black, brown, Anglo, you know. We're Baptist, Missouri Synod Lutheran, Orthodox Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Reformed Pentecostals, non-denominational. We're every cut you can imagine. And yet we're all committed to sharing Christ, and that commitment to sharing Christ is greater than our differences. I think, and I've mentioned this to the group, and they're still kind of mauling over it. It's a financial outlay, but I've told them, I think we ought to buy yard signs and make these available to our congregation, a member of our churches, and for 1 month we ought to go out and put these yard signs in our front yards so that we can all see how big our Pflugerville family of Christ followers really is. There's a bunch of us. There's a bunch of us here in Pflugerville. Different? Yes. But we're all committed to sharing Christ. And that's a great, great family of followers. Because sharing Christ is our priority. A couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I don't think it's been three, but I stood on the steps on the north side of the Capitol with over 100 other pastors from all over Texas. All kinds of denominational backgrounds, but we're all committed to the Bible. We're all committed to sharing Christ. We're all committed to religious freedom. We all stood locked arms that day on the north steps of the Capitol, because we are committed to religious freedom. We are committed to the freedom of sharing Christ. We're so committed to it, we overlooked all of our other differences. And it made a big difference. Sharing Christ is our priority. It ought to be our priority over everything else. Over everything else. As long as you're talking about sharing Christ being a priority, let's also establish that sharing Christ is more important than our apprehensions. You know what? All of us have apprehensions. We're all such mousy people. You would think we'd get over that if we got out of high school. You know? You would think we'd kind of get away from what everybody thinks about us and all that, but we're not. You know, we all have our apprehensions in life, what other folks are thinking of it and of us. And I think at the top of the list is witnessing. We're terrified to witness. But let me tell you something, that's okay. It's all right. It's all right as long as we don't let it stop us. Well, again, we don't have to be good at it. We don't have to be good at it. And it, you know, if you're one of those who's been gifted with the spiritual gift of evangelism, man, go for it. Go for it. Polish your presentation, you know. Close the deal. Learn how to close the deal, embrace those, and pray with them to receive Christ Jesus if you have the gift of evangelism. But if you don't have the gift of evangelism, at least you have the gift of speech. You know the English language. You know, Linda and I both wear these black bracelets that says, I am second. We were eating in a restaurant not long ago, and the waiter said, what's that saying on the black bracelet? And we said, well, it says, I am second. That means in our lives, Jesus is first, and we're second. He said, I like that. I like that. Now, he may have been the hardest pagan in the restaurant. I don't know. But he heard from us that we serve Jesus. He'll go home that evening knowing he met some Christ followers. He met some Christ followers. I was in hospital just this last week, and a young woman said, what's that bracelet say? I said, well, it says, I am second. It means in my life, Jesus is first, and I am second. Her eyes teared up. She said, really? Really? And I didn't go into a presentation of the four spiritual laws. I didn't go into the Roman road. I didn't whip out, you know, evangelism explosion or faith. But that young woman knew she'd met a follower of Christ. We can do that, can't we? We can do that. Just talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus freely, openly, courageously. Take a stand for him. You know, I think, and I've said this in other groups, I think we're so worried about offending other people by talking to them about Jesus that we forget that we may be offending Jesus by not talking to other people about him. Let's worry a little bit about not offending our best friend. Talk about him. One last thing, sharing Christ is our perfection. In other words, as serious followers of Christ, sharing Christ completes us. It's the final critical piece of spiritual clothing. Sharing Christ is the last ingredient that completes the dish. It's the winning lap in a victorious race. It's the crown. That's what Paul means at the top of verse 19, where he says, I know this will lead to my deliverance. Sharing Christ while sitting in a prison with his own execution looming before him, knowing that his good friends there in Philippi were also sharing Christ in the midst of their harsh difficulties and their persecution for following Christ, knowing that their influence had inspired others to share Christ, this was his perfection. This was their perfection. This is our perfection. This is our crown. This is what completes us. For those of you who don't know me well, I came into the ministry from another vocation. My undergraduate degree is in, it's double major, business and computer science. So God made it clear to me that this is what he wanted me to do at age 30. So at age 30, although God was bringing me into this work and Linda and I knew it, I was totally unprepared to do so. So at age 30, I went to Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth to get some training. And it took 4 years. So at age 34, I received my Master of Divinity degree. And I was good to go, man. Raring to go. Turned me loose somewhere. And we went to North Texas, First Baptist Church, Collinsville, and that was our first full-time church. And man, we hit it. We went at it. Used everything God had given us. But toward the end of our stay there, God began making it known to me, to us, that he really wanted me to go back and get another degree, a doctor's degree. So I started that process. We kind of got involved in that, moving forward in that. And right in the middle of that, you guys called me and said, hey, we want you to be pastor down here. So that was a real interruption in my doctor's degree. For about 2 years, I wasn't able to work on that. It's okay. I don't hold a grudge. It's been 25 years, so I'm not upset anymore. But, so, you know, by that time, I was 41, went back at it, and 42, I don't remember, but 43, I think. So anyway, so you know, I went back and worked on my doctor's degree, and at age 46, it's kind of late in the game. Everything's been late in the game for me, but age 46, I was going to be given my doctor's degree. And I remember the day that I stood off stage, ready to walk to receive my degree. I was watching these friends of mine as they would walk across the stage. They'd get the doctor, Ken Hemphill, president of Southwestern Seminary, and they'd shake his hand. He would hand them their doctor's degree. Then they'd take two more steps past him, and Dr. Jimmy Nelson, the director of the doctoral department, would come behind them, take off their hats, and he put their doctoral robes, real regal black and red robe, you know, on them. And he put their hat back on them from behind, and they'd lean forward and he'd whisper something in their ear. And as they walked away, they'd all kind of grin, chuckle. And I'm thinking, man, look at that. What word of wisdom is Dr. Nelson whispering in their ears? What sage nugget of truth is he giving them to send them out into the ministry world with their doctor's degree? So finally came my turn, you know, Steve Washburn. And so I walked out to Dr. Hemphill and I shook his hand. I was given my doctor's degree. Big moment. I took my two steps back behind him. Dr. Nelson took off my hat and put that robe on and fluffed it all up, buttoned in the front, and he leaned forward into my ear. I thought, here it comes. Here it comes. He leaned forward into my ear. You know what he whispered? You know what this great word of wisdom was? This is the head of the education department for the doctoral degree at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, biggest seminary in the world. He leaned forward and whispered in my ear, sick 'em. Sick 'em. Bam, you know. There I go. And poor First Baptist Church Pflugerville, I came back here. And I was on fire. See, here's the thing. Sharing Christ is our sick 'em. It's our sick 'em. We've given our lives to Christ. We've been discipled. We've been trained. We've been taught. We've been encouraged. We have everything we need. And now Jesus leans forward in our ear and he says, sick 'em. Go for it. This is your perfection. This is your completion. You've done it all. You've seen it all. You've experienced it all. Now, here is the perfection. Sick 'em. Go for it. You only got a little time left. How much time you have? I don't know. I like the commercial on TV where they get the note and says, your heart attack will come today. You know, we don't get one of those. We don't know how much time we have left. Light the fire. Doesn't matter if you're any good at it or not. Light the fire and start sharing Christ. This is what we as a church and we as individuals want to be all about. Here's your whisper. Sick 'em. Sick 'em. Let's bow our heads.